Next on RadioSt.Pete.com, Peter's Proffer with Clearwater attorney Peter Tragos. The experienced lawyers at Tragos, Sartes, and Tragos discuss common legal questions, providing insight into the legal process and covering current events as they relate to the legal field.
All right, here we go. Another episode, Peter's Proffer in the courtroom of current events, and that's exactly what we're talking about today, some current events. We're going to talk about some celebrity scandals in the news that are right in our wheelhouse dealing with criminal law, and one of them happened here in our beautiful sunshine state of Florida. We're going to jump into the Jussie Smollett scandal as well as the Robert Kraft scandal. We're going to talk about the legal implications, what we think might happen, how it's going to kind of stay with them as we go, and what ripple effects it could have nationally. So hopefully you guys enjoy these topics. Hit us up on social media or email me. You can hit us up at Tragos Law on all social media sites. Give us a follow. Give us a like. Subscribe to our podcast. Give us a 5-star review. We'd be happy to get in contact with you, talk about any topics you're interested in, or answer any questions you may have. So hopefully you enjoy this episode. Okay, so it's been a wild couple weeks in the news. We're going to talk about two different stories, but we're going to start out with the Jussie Smollett situation, I'll call it, that's going on, where he claimed that he was beaten by two MAGA, Make America Great Again, Trump supporters. They put a noose around his neck. They screamed racial slurs, that it was a hate crime, and all this happened to him. The police did a further investigation, found out that he might not be telling the truth. And now he's been charged with what they call felony disorderly conduct for filing a false police report. And some evidence has come out that he may have paid two brothers $3,500 with like personal checks to stage this whole scandal with him. So let's get into what we know. Pete Sartis and George Tragos are here. Let's get into what we know about the story, what's been alleged, and how this kind of works itself out in the criminal system.
I read something else yesterday evening. And it appears as if they have found receipts from a local hardware store where he actually paid for the rope and the bleach. So that's not exactly looking good for Mr. Smollett.
Right.
Also, I think you can start a little bit earlier, because there was a threat that started that went to the studio.
For Empire, the show.
Right.
That was on.
And, you know, threatened him, and there was a white powder in it. It turned out to be Tylenol. So the FBI and postal inspectors are even investigating that now to see whether or not he sent his own threatening letter to him, which was only a couple days before the alleged attack.
And that would be another crime, sending false anthrax type of. Didn't we have a case like that? Didn't you have a case that was something like that, where somebody sent something and it was supposed to kind of be anthrax, but it wasn't, back when the anthrax scares were happening back in the day?
And it is a crime.
Yeah, and that can even be enhanced penalties, because it's actually a deadly pathogen or whatever that you're trying to threaten people with, or a terrorist act. I think it was technically thought of as a terrorist act because you sent something that looks like anthrax.
Right, because you can even send a non-bomb somewhere and get arrested for it, because people think it's a terrorist act even though it's not a real bomb.
Right. So when you talk about filing a false police report, which is kind of interesting, because when I was at the state attorney's office, I actually tried one of these. I know a lot of people don't try filing a false police report. This one was a big deal because the guy filed a police report that the local PD, the local police department, actually stole cash out of his wallet when they were arresting him. So they took it very seriously. We had the entire small police department come in, 11 witnesses, 2-day trial in misdemeanor court, proving that everybody was there. Everybody saw what happened. The guy didn't have $300 in his wallet, even though he said he did. The guy was kind of crazy, the defendant. And we actually tried the case. And when you go through the elements of filing a false police report, it's about as simple as it gets, as this case is, where you know what you're doing and you're still filing it and you're sending the cops on a wild goose chase and you're wasting the department's time and money. They don't want you to do that.
And the truth is, they don't really file these willy-nilly. A lot of people come in and, let's just say, may make a representation that's not exactly accurate. And law enforcement, the prosecutors, they just don't have time for these things. So they don't normally file these. I mean, to really get a false police report filed, there's got to be, I mean, you've really got to put these guys through some hoops.
And the fact, you know, it didn't hurt that this was a high-profile case. And they weren't just going to let it drop and fade away, because it wouldn't fade away. The press wouldn't let it fade away. Smollett goes on television, does interviews about
it. So did other celebrities recording right. and having his back, saying this is so horrible, we better get these guys. So if the cops just would have let it go away, people would have said, I can't believe they didn't push this hard enough.
Cover up.
Like, yeah.
What was, and it wasn't the Oscars, it was the awards before that. There was another awards banquet, and his you know, co-stars on the TV show went up there and just said how horrible this is, really publicizing, you know, the tragic set of facts. The problem you face now is, I also understand something else I read yesterday. His part, his character in the television drama is supposed to be written out.
Right.
So that may have been a reason why he did all this.
Some people say that he may have done this
allegedly.
To try to get some positive.
Right. Yeah, they wrote him out the last two episodes here that are just happening.
Well, that's different.
Right.
That happened after kind of the backlash to the false police report.
Right.
But some people were talking he was going to be written off the show, so he wanted this publicity boost to help his character on Empire and to help him keep going. There's also some dialogue out there about that he was suffering from some mental illness and was posting things like, I'm about to break, the pressure of Hollywood is just too much, I don't know what to do anymore, things like that, which all could have come into his bad decision-making if he did, in fact, do what he's accused of. But from the other side, when you have a client from a criminal defense perspective, when you have a client that's accused of something like this, how do you attack it? How do you try to attack filing a false police report? Is one of the arguments trying to minimize the resources that were actually wasted by law enforcement? Like, what do you use to either attack or mitigate this type of charge?
Well, minimizing the resources, I don't think that's a good one. But I think you can attack the individuals. These are two individuals that allegedly were paid $3,500. I think they'll be the focus of the attack if he does attack this. We don't know really what's going to happen on this. It's a crime subject to from 1 to 3 years in prison. And he may just say, you know, look.
It's a felony there.
Right, it's a felony.
This
and,
here, the one that I tried was a misdemeanor,
right.
So I don't know what the distinction is.
Well, they do have felonies as well here
right,
in
what's
Florida.
The distinction?
Distinction is the level of
wasted resources?
Yes, well, it's not the level. It's the level of, if it was a felony, they normally would charge like a resisting or some kind of a, whether you'd cost the city X number of dollars, so you're really costing them money. There's different charges, just like lewd and lascivious in Florida. It's hard to distinguish. The more severe it is, it becomes a felony.
So it's just
less
a severity
severe.
Issue.
Yeah, that's really what it comes
down
to.
Do you know if they have misdemeanor one in is this New York? I think
New York.
Yeah.
I think has five.
Or no, it was Chicago.
It was Chicago, and it was in this one. It was disorderly conduct.
Right.
Is actually what they
disorderly
call it
conduct
there.
For filing a
right.
false police report.
Right. That's not. It's different than what we have in Florida.
Right. Right. So we obviously don't know if he's going to fight it. I would think he's got to do something. I don't think at this point he can just recant
well, there's
everything
also,
he said publicly.
There's also the possibility they may have a diversion program
right.
in Chicago that'll let him go take some
and it
kind
drops
of classes.
All the charges. So he can kind of get that publicity at the end that all the charges were dropped.
Right.
Something
and,
like that.
And the fact that it's in Chicago probably doesn't hurt him. If it was in a different jurisdiction, maybe more conservative jurisdiction, I think he'd have more serious
I don't know. I, from what I'm reading, the superintendent in Chicago,
nobody
the police department,
yeah.
is would strangle him for what he did.
No, I mean,
there's a lot of reasons to get upset about this.
Right. And, I mean, I think the point is the backlash is really hurting real victims of hate crimes. And not only does this create an extra bullet in the gun of people that are racist in America, because there is still racism in America, and this is now going to be an argument for them, like, oh, maybe they're just lying like Jussie Smollett did. Instead of helping this situation like he was trying to do, I guess, in a horrible way, he's just created more ammunition for the other side. That's all he's done.
Yeah. And so many
he's just
people,
made it worse. He's made it so much worse.
Well, so many people were willing to jump to his defense,
right?
And they didn't know the facts. The investigation hadn't been completed yet. Yet they're condemning. They're blaming Trump for it. They're blaming Pence for it. They're blaming everybody for it because we do have a race relations problem in this country. Yeah. It exists.
And this doesn't help.
That's
what I'm saying. All this does is hurt.
But I don't think this is so deep. If this is in fact the case, if these allegations that this is all made up are true, I don't think he's thinking about anything political. I think it's an opportunity to further his own goal of staying on the show and keeping myself in the press.
Oh, no. I think it was political. And whether or not in his mind it was political, in all the other celebrities, like Ellen Page is famous for it because she went out multiple times and was, like, harsh – about MAGA country and Trump. This is what happened with Trump. This is how people act now. Like, as if this was some kind of evidence of the truth. On top of the, you know, Catholic school students with the Indian chief, this is just piling on top of, they're looking for something. They're looking to blow something up. And by picking this, they've fallen flat on their faces, basically. And this should be a caution to everybody that jumps to conclusions. Wait and see what actually happens, because now he's ruined the argument of, we need more protections. There are these types of hate crimes happening. We need to find ways to stop them. We need to find ways to minimize them. We need to find better ways to prosecute them. We need to find better ways to make people not want to commit these hate crimes. All this did was blow fire in the other direction.
Well, what happened was, you've got a legitimate problem, race relations,
right?
And you're able to use it as a weapon. You're able to use it to get your own publicity. You're able to use it for selfish reasons. You're able to use this because people are so blind and so emotional that they'll jump at the chance to attack Trump.
And they want to use it for their own. They want to use it for their own intentions and to push their own agenda. That's the problem, is Jussie Smollett has this issue, right? Everybody cares so much about him that they go on national TV to push their agenda. They're not doing anything to help him. They're pushing their own agenda. Yeah, that's the point.
They care less about him.
Right. And think about the other problem. Let's bring it back to Florida for a second. In Florida, a hate crime is actually a minimum mandatory 3-year prison sentence. So imagine if the circumstances would have surrounded him allegedly pointing at someone and saying, that guy did it. And now you're looking at potentially a prison sentence for something that you've absolutely not done, that was completely fabricated.
Which is the last thing I want to talk about. So why is it such a big deal filing a false police report? Why is, you know, he looking at jail time? Why can't they just, you know, give him a fine, move on with it, be like, they figured out it was false, and just kind of move on?
Because people get hurt and law enforcement uses resources. You might have some really serious, legitimate crime going on somewhere, and because this had such high a level of visibility, you know they assigned a lot of law enforcement resources to it. And think about how much they assigned to it to find that it was false.
Right.
They looked at all the
They got a lot of evidence. Yeah.
The closed circuit television cameras. They had to look at hours and hours and hours of television. They went around and collected receipts from shops in order to find who bought the rope. They went and found these guys. They weren't even in the country when they determined that these guys were the guys, and they arrested them at the airport when they were coming back from, I think it was Nigeria.
Yeah, it's innocent people can go to prison. That's the number one problem. If, God forbid, they would have found somebody that matched the description that he gave, they arrest him, they convict him, and boom, he gets a minimum mandatory prison sentence. So that can happen. Like you said, law enforcement can miss out on something else they should be doing because they're wasting their time with this. And then number three, the backlash it creates is horrible. It's a crying wolf situation that nobody wants, especially in today's climate, the political climate, the racial climate. Nobody wants anybody crying wolf. So this is just exactly what this is.
Right.
So as we transition to, you know, Trump has his kind of stamp on everything that's going on in the news today, which I'm sure he loves. But one of Trump's good buddies, Robert Kraft, owner of the Patriots, gets arrested for 2 misdemeanor counts. And this happens in our state, Florida, in West Palm Beach. 2 misdemeanor counts of solicitation. And the way the factual scenario sets up, he walks into an Asian massage parlor, pays cash at the front desk, is walked back by one of the people that work there. He is given a massage. He takes off his clothes. He's given a massage. Sex acts are performed on him. He leaves. And he does the same thing twice. So within that factual scenario, there are also some points that are lesser known that I didn't know before doing more research. Dad, you want to talk about a couple of those? What happened when he got pulled over and those types of situations, that what may seem like an open and shut case for solicitation may not be so open and shut. There are actually interesting things that make this an interesting case that a lot of people don't know about when you're fighting a charge of solicitation. So why don't you tell us some of those facts and how you'd use them to argue against it?
Well, you know, I read a lot of the material on this, and I could not find out the justification for putting the camera in the massage parlor.
And that was one of the things I put for us to talk about is, how does law enforcement get a warrant to do that? There's got to be more than just some reasonable suspicion that this is going on. They actually have the cameras videotaping these sex acts without the Asian massage parlor knowing.
And not just that. So they had to commit a burglary in order to plant the cameras. So they had to get permission from some judge to break into the massage parlor, put the cameras up. Secondly, it's really unusual that law enforcement will video a complete sex act before doing an arrest.
Yep.
But they sure did in this case.
With him.
A lot of them. Not just him, but I think they arrested 25 people just
right.
in this
well,
one
state. There are supposedly hundreds of people they've arrested
right.
through this. And one of the other issues with that, and we're kind of getting off topic, but because I do want to talk about the stop and what may be illegal about the stop and how you'd use it in an argument. But when you're talking about the way law enforcement handled this investigation with the videotapes and the extensive work they did on it, all the people they arrested, supposedly this investigation, quote unquote, had been going on for a long time. And it's supposed to be to stop sex trafficking, but they continued to let the girls come in and out and be sexually abused, if that's what was going on, while they were doing this quote-unquote investigation
right.
after they already had video evidence of it.
Well, hold on a second. And that's something that's interesting. It's supposed to be a sex trafficking investigation.
Right.
The theory behind that is to protect innocent victims from harm. Okay?
Right.
So if you're protecting innocent victims from harm, the first person who attempts to have a sex act perform or shows up with the appropriate pretext, you break down the doors, go in and arrest everybody.
That's what I would think. If
yeah.
that's if your point is to stop this sex trafficking parlor.
Yeah, but hold on a second. The two people that are supposedly involved in this, one of whom I think is cooperating.
With him. You're talking about with Robert Kraft.
The owner of the establishment.
Yeah, there's two people. There's two females. One, I think, is not named. I think she's cooperating.
No, it's Wang and Mingbi. They're both named.
There's two. Oh, they're both named?
Yeah.
Okay. So you don't normally name victims inside
exactly
of a complaint.
Said, right.
And the second part about this is apparently both these women are U.S. citizens, licensed massage yes. therapists, business owners. So
not young Chinese girls
yeah.
who were trafficked over from
and
China.
And remember, they only were charged with operating a house of prostitution. They were not charged with sex trafficking.
Exactly.
And they were not charged with racketeering, which we're involved in a case like this. And
what's funny is it may be this Robert Kraft situation may help them save face. They got this big, they landed this big fish basically, and they stopped this prostitution house. But the reason the resources and the warrants were probably granted for such extensive video evidence and things like that is because they thought this was a big sex trafficking scandal, and it turned out to just be
a
happy ending.
Parlor.
Yeah, happy endings Asian massage parlor.
If it really was more than that, they would have charged racketeering. Because as I started to say, we represent someone involved in this type of thing, and they're charged with racketeering because they did repeated acts of criminal activity over and over again. So they charge them with the most serious crime
right.
they can, and that didn't happen in this case. I'm wondering what's going on with this massage.
Well, you also hear there have been other cases where we have gone to trial on that. I'm thinking of one that we had where the government starts out saying, this was this huge scheme versus hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars or $1 million, this huge scheme. And it turns out it was really only $5,000 or something. So this might be a situation where they thought it was much bigger than it ended up being. But once they saw Robert Kraft come in there, or once they figured out with this stop that Robert Kraft was in on this, then it became a lot more important. So the resources weren't wasted. And at least they got to get this big fish basically at that point. So why don't you now talk about what happened with the stop and why that's a big deal?
Well, the stop was, there's no doubt, they stopped the car to identify him.
But
it's
he wasn't
pretext.
Even driving. He
right.
wasn't even So what happens is Robert Kraft gets in his friend's car who dropped him off, sat outside, Kraft gets
the
done.
Friend sat outside.
Right. Yeah. Kraft gets done, walks outside, gets in the car right when he drives off, cops pull him over, get his ID, and that's how they identify him as Robert Kraft.
I believe it was a Bentley.
Yeah. So what's the probable cause for the stop?
Exactly.
Well, I don't know. And that obviously will be a bone of contention where the windows, we've got one now where the windows were tinted too dark. So they pulled the car over and oops, they found a whole bunch of drugs inside the car. But they knew before they stopped the car that those drugs were going to be in there.
And so whether people like it or not, and we've done other podcasts on this, especially me and Pete do these traffic rules podcasts all the time. And some people are like, why is that important? Why do we care about noise violations? Why do we care about texting and driving laws? And this is the point. We're trying to write the laws in Florida that make it fair. You have to do something to get pulled over. You can't just be pulled over because a law enforcement officer wants to pull you over. And things like tinted windows and noise violations and cell phones go back and forth as to whether or not they're a primary offense that you're allowed to be pulled over for. And this is why it's so important, because it can lead to drug charges or cops planting something or cops making a mistake or, you know, this type of situation where they're just gathering evidence that they shouldn't be able to be gathering while Robert Kraft's just driving away.
2 points. One, they say it was a traffic stop, so there must have been some reason they're using for the actual stop, some excuse for the stop. And secondly, they're also saying that we could have an inevitable discovery. You asked me about the traffic stop. If they could have found his name anyway, and if the traffic stop
then
didn't
the fruit
matter,
of the, it doesn't matter. The poisonous
matter.
Fruit of the tree doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it
but
doesn't
there's
matter.
A but in this, because when you pull over the white Bentley and say, "Sir, can I have your driver's license?"
So far, we've said her name is Wang. My dad said there's a bone to pick, and you said there's a butt in this. Already. Okay, go ahead.
All puns intended.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead.
So when you pull over the white Bentley, and the police officer comes up and says, "See your driver's license," they're normally talking to the driver,
yeah,
not the guy
true.
In the passenger seat who's
yep.
not driving.
Yep. Yeah, and this all happened right before they went and won the AFC
yeah.
championship.
By the
game.
Way, I don't think this case is going to stick.
It was it well.
Well, we're going to get
know.
There. We're going to get there. Okay, so before we get to what do we think is going to happen, some of the things and why this case is such a big deal and why it's not just you know a joke that. He was in there for 12 minutes. I saw a lot of people joking about and doing stuff like that. But it's not a joke because sex trafficking is such a huge thing in Florida. And the sheriff over there said that these massage parlors were part of a $20 million China-based sex trafficking operation. And they saw several men moving women between these massage parlors. And Florida is the end of the supply chain. So those are his quotes surrounding this. Yet, that's not really what's been charged yet.
Well, understand that Kraft, it's hard to find an ally in this case for Kraft. Number one, the conservative Christian right is going to get upset because obviously this is illicit sex and they're upset about it and you know man shouldn't be doing this. But then you look at the liberals all upset about exploiting women. So
and he's a known Trump ally, so
yeah.
none of them like him
so,
anyway.
So this guy can't find, sorry, this guy can't find any friends.
Yeah. Well,
other than other people who are arrested in this case.
Yeah, but he doesn't need to find friends. What he needs to find is a couple of good lawyers.
Well, you know what I heard? You know what I heard?
He's worth $6 billion.
I heard that he may fund all of the defenses for all the guys that got arrested.
Wow. Would that be crazy?
Yeah, I've heard that he was willing wow. to. He might be willing to do that because they're all going to have the same defense to
oh
fight
my
this.
Gosh.
And he has the money to do it. He could fund everybody's defense.
That's
and on a positive note, then you create joint defense.
Right.
Everybody's on the same sheet of music.
So,
right.
I mean, that would be an interesting case.
So, okay, so before we get into it, so I guess we'll talk now about what we think is going to happen. One of my arguments for him would be, and I've read this in the news, so it's one that I guess I like that they made, is he goes in, he pays for a massage, he goes back, and he gets a massage. Then the sex acts happen, and then he leaves. So he did this in two different days. His argument is, or I've heard people say his argument's going to be, he has a relationship with this woman. He pays the parlor for the massage. He also had, you know, has sexual relations with her in different ways, and then he leaves. But who's to say they don't have a relationship together? There's no, he's not paying for the sex act, things like that. That is an argument. I'm not saying it's like an argument
well,
he's going to hang his hat on or win.
You realize that some of the men are actually saying that. They've interviewed some of the men that were arrested,
yeah.
and some of them are going, I don't understand. I'm in love with this girl. I mean,
right.
you know, this is just, you know, this is all consensual, voluntary
Which
stuff.
Which is why it's important that if they can't connect this to sex trafficking. I do think that makes a difference because if both of the men and the women are both going to say they're in a relationship, I mean, people might not believe it, but I mean, I think it is an argument that may provide some kind of reasonable doubt in this situation, especially if the jury doesn't think that this is that big of a deal and there's no sex trafficking. That's something that may help them in their case.
You know what's interesting about that? And I'm thinking back to my Army days. When I was at Fort Leonard, Missouri, there was a place called Daisy Spa. It was, in fact, unlawful. It was by order of the battalion commander, no one goes to Daisy Spa. And regardless of that order, there were actually young soldiers. And I'll tell you, they were pretty much vulnerable guys, guys that didn't really have a lot going for themselves. And they were literally would go to these places, and they swore up and down they were in love.
Oh yeah, that
with
happens
that
all
person.
The time. There's a whole. There's a song called "I'm in Love with a Stripper." So that's not a surprise. If some of them did think they were in love with them, I probably don't think Robert Kraft was. But that's just me going out on a limb. If he loved her, why didn't he just invite her to come with him?
Between you and me, why does this guy even have to go there?
I don't.
But anyway,
that's a good defense. That's a good defense to tell the jury. Look, he does. This is a man doesn't have to pay for sex.
Correct.
I mean, there are women throwing themselves at him all day and all night.
Right. So what do you think is going to happen?
I think he's going to beat it. I think they're going to throw a couple of good lawyers on there, file some huge motions for, to get evidence.
Motion to suppress.
Suppressed, yes.
Right.
I think you're going to find a lot of a lot of the evidence the state's not going to want to go forward on because they realize it's kind of dirty.
And if they lose this, that'll be pretty embarrassing.
And they're going to look bad.
I think he's going to end up pleading to something. I think he's going to plead to something small, no jail time, no like sex offender status.
Which is what everybody would get with this charge.
Sometimes, no, we've had some cases where they do some minimum stuff like mandatory, 30 days or mandatory, you have to register for something or whatever. He's going to get the maximum fines and he's going to pay it. It's like two quarters falling out of his pocket. He's going to probably make a huge donation to some sex trafficking awareness charity. He's going to do something like that, big publicity, good publicity, but I don't think it's just going to go away altogether. I think he's going to have to plead to something.
Well, to speculate a bit, and we have speculated.
A lot.
We don't know if they properly have the videotapes in there. We don't know if they got the proper court orders.
Right.
We don't know what the traffic stop was for. If they did everything right, he's going to get convicted.
You think?
Yes.
Why?
Because they've got the video shows him actually giving money at certain points during the
activity. No, it was the beginning and the end.
Right, which means that you give money at the end, it's after that. So I don't, and he's going to get on the stand. Think about this. Kraft's going to get on the stand and say, what, I loved this girl, or this was a date.
Consensual act.
Or, I didn't have to pay for it.
It's a consensual act. The thing I don't think is going to happen is it going to trial. That would be the most surprising thing. I think he's going to end up pleading to something. I think it's going to be really minimum. I think it might even be, like Pete said, a withhold.
Yeah, he's going to get nothing.
He's going to pay a lot of money to a bunch of different places, but...
What about $400 million.
But what about... What about, though, and Peter, you're think about this. What about the NFL? I mean, will there be any sanctions from the NFL?
Well, I don't, because Roger Goodell says, you have to protect the shield and everything comes back on the reputation of the NFL and the shield. I've heard different things like, number one, I've heard they may make him step back and let his son take charge because his son is heavily involved with the Patriots as well already. This guy's 80 years old. His son's in his 50s. It's not like his son's a 20-year-old guy. So his son's already involved. They may, behind closed doors, tell him to take a step back. Don't be so upfront. Because he's been all over the news, too, wearing these big gold diamond chains, dancing, being kind of crazy with young girlfriends and whatever. So, he's been very out there and very noticeable, and everybody's seeing him. So they may ask him to take a step back. They could force him, in a way like Donald Sterling was kind of forced to sell the Clippers. They could try to force him to sell either the Patriots or the majority owner of the Patriots. I highly doubt that will happen, but there are some things they can try to do like that, and I don't think any of it's really going to sink. I think the most realistic option is probably he backs off a little bit and his son, maybe they change titles where his son becomes, president of operations or whatever Robert Kraft holds right now. I would think something like that would happen, that his son would take over more responsibility and Robert Kraft would kind of back off a little bit. But they're not going to – they could sanction him. They could fine him. Even as an owner, you can fine the owners for doing things unbecoming of an NFL owner. Mm. They have their own rules in the collective bargaining agreement to do stuff like that. But I don't think they're going to force him to sell the team or anything like that. I don't think it rises to that level.
But there's got to be – if they're going to be consistent – if they're going to look at what the players do, they're going to have to do something.
The Patriots are famous for these types of scandals. They've taken draft picks. They've taken money from them. They've suspended players' games for stuff off the field. So, they could do any number of things to basically sanction him. My guess would be he's going to pay some money to charity. That would be my guess.
Have been sanctioned more than other teams?
Yeah, because they have all sorts of scandals.
They got
the deflated ball, deflate gate, where Tom Brady supposedly deflated the footballs. He got suspended a couple games. They've had Spygate, where they supposedly filmed other teams' practices and scouted them like that. They have all sorts of things have happened.
Then maybe this, the culture starts from the top.
Yeah, you're right. that could be an argument that wouldn't surprise
The culture stops, it starts from
They don't follow
him,
the
right.
rules, the rules right. don't apply to them type
it's
of argument.
It's kind of like law firms that throw champagne parties if you get held in contempt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Celebrating bad behavior. Yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting time, and I think this stuff will always pop up, so that's why it's interesting to talk about. It's fun to kind of deal with what the legal arguments are. Hopefully everybody enjoyed it. Hopefully you learned something, and we'll be back with you guys next time.
You've been listening to Peter's Proffer with Clearwater attorney Peter Trakos. The experienced lawyers at Tragos Sartes & Tragos discuss common legal questions, providing insight into the legal process and covering current events as they relate to the legal field. Find out more at tragoslaw.com.